You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
All right, so today we're going to talk about a subject called Chosen by God. You're not here by accident. God preordained your existence for you to be here at this place and at this time. God chose you. And to know that we're chosen also means also that God has also given us a purpose for us being here. So we're going to explore today. I understand. Listen, I don't care if you were born in wedlock, out of wedlock. I don't care if you're a victim of rape. I don't care what incest, all that stuff. It don't make a difference because every one of those things are part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And we went over that before. And so God has chosen us ordinary people to do extraordinary things with. And to know that you have been handpicked, hand chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ himself before the world was ever established, he saw you, London. He saw you, Kino. He knew you by name, Raven, and he knew what you were going to be doing, Junior. He knew everything that there was about you. Nothing missing. God knows everything there is. He knows your past, your present, and your future because he's omniscient. God knows everything. So we're going to start our study today in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Book of Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In other words, Paul said, I didn't call myself. God called me. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul always begins his salutation with grace and peace. He never says peace and grace, but it's always grace and peace. Because until you experience the unmerited, undeserved favor and kindness of God, you'll never truly have the peace of God in your life. Because without grace, and the Bible said we're saved by grace, without grace, we're under the condemnation of sin. And you can't have peace if you know that you're not secure in your future where you're going to spend your eternity. But God has given us that ability to have that peace because of God's grace that was shed in our life. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. God said he has already provided everything you're ever going to need in this world and also in the world to come. He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, but is located in Christ. And Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means the Messiah or the anointed one and his anointing. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us, somebody say he chose us. According as he hath chose us in himself before the foundation of the world, that we should be number one, holy, without blame, before him in love. He chose us that we would be in right standing with God, holy and without blame before him in love. And that holiness is an attribute of God, God's character, God's anointing. God is holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He says, having predestinated us. Now, this is a word that we need to look up. What does the word predestinated mean? It's really easy. Sometimes y'all set your GPS in your car to where you want to go, and you set your destination. And while you're in the driveway, you have predestined where you want to go. You've already set up. Well, God has already predestinated us. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So Jesus did this for us. He elected us to be a part of the family and the household of God individually, not just collectively. He knows us individually, Lorenzo. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Until we get this mindset, we'll think we're just subject to Murphy's Law. Whatever happens will happen. We're just going to live until we die. No, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it's your job to discover what it is. You discover it by first having a relationship with God. Over in Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. Verse 6. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. All of the division, all of the enmity, when we were living a life of sin, has been removed. Once we come into Christ Jesus, we are accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. All of this is because God so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, it says whosoever, but God knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. You know, we believe that we are definitely in the last days. But God has chosen you. He always saves his best for last. So there's something on the inside of us that we need to learn how to tap into, that we can explore the riches of his grace and the love that he has toward us. And as we go on, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and has made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God said he's done this because he wants us to understand who he is. He purposed this in himself to call you for such a time as this, because you are a chosen generation. He said, verse 10, he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Now we come up with another word, dispensation. What does the word dispensation actually talk about? It talks about a specific time frame, a specific time in which God is dealing with his people in a specific way. We're under the dispensation of grace. Grace is not going to last always. You're blessed to be under the dispensation of grace. Now, Paul originally wrote these letters to the Gentiles, who were outside of the commonwealth of God, because salvation had belonged to the Jews. But under Paul's administration, where God gave him the revelation of grace, God has drawn both all Jew and Gentile alike into one body, which is the body of Christ. And he made us all to drink or to be washed into one blood. And so now we're all as part as the family and the house of God, whether you're Jew or Greek. See, you can't be saved just because you're a Jew. You got to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We're under this dispensation or this age of grace, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Once again, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God said, can anybody tell me how to do this? I do things the way I want to do it. I work all things out after the counsel of my own will. Who's able to instruct God? Who's able to tell God who can be saved and who's not going to be saved? God is the one who makes that call. He's the one who decides. And he says, in whom we have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works out all things according after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, for whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. How many have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you heard the word, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross, somebody preached that to you, somebody told you about who Jesus was, and then there's somebody challenged you to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you found out who Jesus was and all that he did for you, out of the gratefulness of your heart and thanksgiving, you repented of your sin. You asked God to forgive you and become the Lord and Savior of your life. When you heard that message and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are placed into the family and the household of God, and you're part of the body of Christ. In whom you trusted after that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The moment you accepted and believed God, God sealed you, vacuum packed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What was the promise? The promise is that you are going to be saved, you're going to be redeemed, and that he's coming back for the purchased possession. He said, wherein also, after I heard of your faith, of whom also ye trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, of whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit seals us. That is the earnest. What is the earnest? What is earnest money? It's your down payment. If you bought a house, you had to put a down payment before you bought the house. The down payment is called the earnest money. And that means that once you put down your down payment, if that house costs $500,000 and they told you if you put $10,000 down, that's your down payment. And you ask, all you got is 10 grand. You put down 10,000. And all of a sudden, after you put down your 10,000, I come up to the guy and say, listen, man, I'll offer you $600,000 for that house. He can't do it because he's already got your down payment. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on the purchased possession. The moment you accepted Christ, you were sealed, stamped with the Holy Spirit of promise of redemption. He died to redeem us. Not just our spirit, but also our bodies to be redeemed. But also after that ye heard, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. One of the attributes of being saved is now all of a sudden we start caring one for another. We love for one another. We forgive one another. We don't hold malice in our heart. You can't sit back and with unforgiveness of, I ain't going to never forget them. I know what they did for me. No, that's going to keep you from the blessing of God. You got to be willing to release anybody who has ever offended you. Anybody that you have offended, you got to be willing to go back and to make amends. He says you can't even bring your gift to the altar. He said first leave your gift, then go back and make amends, then come back and offer your gift. So that your gift is not tainted with unforgiveness. It's not defiled because of your spirit is messed up. We have to keep our spirit right in God. And one of the ways we do that is not only accepting what he has done for us, but also sharing what he has done for us with others. As we have been forgiven, let us learn to forgive. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's so important that you understand who you are in Christ and who God is to you. If you understand that your Heavenly Father is the creator of all things, everything was created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That God came down to redeem you, to buy you back because you were sold into sin. Adam and Eve made a bad contract deal with the devil in the garden, and he took control over their life, and sin passed on all mankind. In order to settle that contract, in order to buy out the contract, the wages of sin was death. Jesus had to die on the cross to buy us back. And so this is why you were redeemed. You were bought back. He paid the price on the cross to buy us back. And so now because of that, we understand that he's given us wisdom and revelation, knowledge in who he is. He said, I want the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. You need to open up your eyes. You know, they go around the day trying to practice on opening up their third eye. You see it all on Facebook. You see everywhere. They're trying to tap into a supernatural realm and tap into certain abilities. And believe me, there are such abilities that we have not tapped into. But you don't want to tap into anything until you tap into the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes to give you power, and it brings all of the gifts with you, miracles, signs, and wonders. It brings the gifts that you're able to access. But they're trying to access the spirit realm without the Holy Spirit, and that means it's going to open them up to demonic suggestion and demonic possession. So you got to be careful with that. People getting into transcendental meditation, auto-suggestion, auto-writing. You know, auto writing is when they go into some type of trance and they let this demonic spirit operate through them. That's not how God wants you to operate. God wants you to be led by the Holy Spirit of God and not by some demonic spirit. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe according to the workings of his mighty power? You're talking about power. God said, if you believe, if you trust in him, let me read that to you. Verse 18 and 19 again. He said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory in an inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. We are the body of Christ. Christ is the head, that the fullness of him may dwell in us all. So Christ is supposed to dwell in us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he's none of his. Christ is the word. Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. The Holy Spirit brings us power and authority. He dwells on the inside of us. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not it. It's not a thing. It is a him. He is the third member of the Trinity. And his job is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Until we recognize and come into relationship with the power and the presence of God that's on the inside of us, he remains dormant. But the moment we start seeking God and asking God to fill us with his presence, the Holy Spirit will come alive on the inside of us. Well, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. See, the house is not necessarily a building. You understand? It's a place of worship. It's a mindset. The kingdom of God is within you. And so you dwelling in the house of God is you're always dwelling under his presence, under his authority, under his mindset. You understand? You got to have the mind of Christ. Because if you can dwell out there in the world, that's outside of the house of God. But under the house, just like any home, there's rules and regulations, there's authority, there's a father, there's someone who's governing the house. We dwell in the house of the Lord. Under his presence, under his provision, under his authority forever. That's a blessing. You don't know. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. God chose you. See, we are, the Bible said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved of the Lord. Why? Because God has from the beginning chosen you. Remember I said you were chosen before God even constructed anything. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. God chose you to be saved. Now, he's giving you that election. Now, what you do with that choice is up to you. Anybody remember what Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says? Behold, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you both life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose the choice that God has for you. God has chosen you. Now, you need to choose God. God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. What is the truth? God's word is true. Do you believe the word of God? God has chosen those who have had the measure of faith to believe God's word. Those are the ones who are chosen. Not the people walking around in doubt and unbelief, uncertainty, or choosing another source of salvation, which there is no other source, should think they're going to be saved through their own works or their own abilities. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, God tells us that we need to walk a certain way, that we need to live a certain way if we are the chosen of God. He said, wherefore, lay aside all malice. You know what malice is? anger, hatred, unforgiveness. Lay aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisy. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. And envies, and all evil speaking. You're supposed to be letting a whole bunch of corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You're supposed to be just be the whale of unrighteousness. Everything come out your mouth is a cuss word or bringing somebody down or negativity about everything you hear. But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, when you first start feeding a baby and you get a baby to try to breastfeed, all of them don't breastfeed, do they? They try to get them to latch on. And once the baby latch, that baby's on there, right? Well, we got to latch onto the word of God, like the sincere milk of the word. Don't be backing off. See, some babies won't breastfeed. I've seen that. They just won't take the breast. Mama's titties hurting. I mean, swole up because they can't get the milk out. They got to use a breast pump. And then they got to feed them through a bottle. That's not the same thing. But when you latch on, you're getting direct nutrients, direct from the source coming out. And so this is why the Bible says, like babes, you need to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted, if you tasted the word of God, you know that the Lord is gracious. If you taste it, that the Lord is gracious. To whom's coming unto you as a lively stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen of God and precious. Jesus is that lively stone. He's chosen of God. And when you become a part of him, you become part of that chosen generation. He said, ye also are lively stones built up of a spiritual house. Here you go, Keno. How you dwell in the house of the Lord. He said, ye also are lively stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. How you do that? Through praise, through obedience, through prayer, through obeying the word of God. Wherefore, it's also, it is contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But in them that be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And it becomes a stumbling block, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto they were appointed. See, that word, either you fall on it and you allow the word to break you to where you humble yourself, or that word will fall on you and crush you. And you don't want that stone to fall on you. It's better for you to fall on the stone. Yield it yourself. Let's go on that again. It says, unto you, therefore, which believe, talking about Jesus, he is precious. But as to them that be disobedient, the stones which the builder disallowed, the same is called, is made the head of the corner. Jesus is the head of all things now. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, always trying to discredit the word. Oh, I found discrepancies in the Bible. You know, I don't know who wrote the Bible, how you know the Bible's true. They can't believe nothing. Being disobedient whereunto they were appointed. Somebody say, but ye. Verse 9 said, but ye, talking about you. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The entrance of God's word brings light. Until you accept the word, you're walking in darkness. I don't care about how much knowledge you accumulate through natural education, through study. Until you accept the word of God, you're still walking in darkness. See, you're not saved based on just how much knowledge you got. You only can be saved through the sacrifice that God made when he gave his son to die in your place. And when you accept that and accept that word, when that word comes into your life, it lightens you. The entrance of God's word brings light. Remember with St. John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then it says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You say, and this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. He said, neither would they come to the light, lest their deeds should be made manifest or made reproof. You know, when you turn the light on in the room, if you've been sitting in darkness, you can't stand the light when the lights first come on. Give me that. Turn it down. Close those curtains. I'm still asleep. I don't want all that light. And so people rather hang out in darkness doing dark things. And when the lights come on, they be like the roaches that scatter, trying to get back to a place of darkness. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, says virtually the same thing, Old Testament verse. He said, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. So just remember, you're not here by accident. God has chosen you. And once you understand that, now you can start seeking God to find out what is the assignment that God has for your life. And you need to find out what is the assignment so you can carry out your purpose here on the earth. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 1. 1 Peter 1 and 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers which are scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, God has foreknowledge. What does it mean that God has foreknowledge? No, God has foreknowledge of things. That means he has knowledge before the thing even takes place. He has foreknowledge. Nothing is a surprise to God. See, God doesn't come up with any new ideas. God is not discovering anything. God is all thought, all discovery, everything is in God. This is why God said he knew you, Kena, before you was even born. He knew you before he created the world, because he knew what he was doing already. And at such a time as this day, he knew I would be standing here talking about this. He knows. He's omniscient. That means all-knowing. You can't surprise God with nothing. God already knows the beginning and the ending. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. He knows all things. He's also omnipresent. That means he is all places and all times. You can't hide from God. God knows your thoughts. Your thought life, God knows it.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
His holy name until every mountain echoes with his glory, till every valley flows with songs of praise, till every nation marvels at his greatness, till every tongue